can't miss coming to the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And what a good way to start your weekend. Amen. What a good way to start your weekend in God's house. Worshiping the Lord. Amen. Just being in the presence of the Lord. Amen. You know, we can't ever get tired of being in God's presence. Amen. We cannot grow weary in being in God's presence. You know, I've been serving God for 19. That's when you know you've been in it for a minute.
Amen.
Come on now, amen. March 4th is going to be 19 years. Yeah, 19 years that I've been saved, amen. Come on, praise the Lord. I give the Lord some praise for that, amen. And 19 years, amen, that I've been saved and serving the Lord, amen. 19 years that I've been in this book, amen, in the Bible. 19 years that I've been praying, trusting the Lord. 19 years, amen. 19 years strong, amen, strong, amen. And, you know, I haven't been strong the whole time, amen, but for 19 years, amen, I've been serving the Lord, amen. And, you know, I thank God for His mercy, His grace, His keeping power,
amen.
His keeping power, amen. Thank you, worship team, amen. I thank God for His keeping power, you know, and if God did it for me, He'll do it for you. He can keep you for 19, 50 years, 100 years till the Lord comes back. Amen. And, you know, for 19 years, I've been in church. Amen. I've been in church. I knew I wasn't going to get no amens.
Come on.
For 19 years, I've been in church. Amen. You know, the first 2 years, I was in prison, so I really couldn't be in a church like this.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen. So I was in prison, but I would go to Bible study faithfully.
Right, amen.
Amen. I would go to Bible. That's, you know, I learned a lot in prison. Amen. I learned a lot. I had a lot of time to read. Had none but time. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
And some people can't sit in one service. Come on now.
Amen.
But for 19 years, amen, I've been serving the Lord. Amen. Been serving the Lord.
Amen.
And for two of those years, I was in prison, but then I got out. I came to Victory Outreach. Amen. And so I've been in Victory Outreach for 17 years.
Yeah.
I've been in Victory Outreach, amen, for 17 years. I mean 17 years of Friday night services.
Yeah. Amen.
Sunday morning services.
Yeah.
Discipleships.
Right.
Fighting Men of Valors.
Yeah.
Gang conventions.
Amen.
World conferences.
Amen.
And I'm still around.
That's right.
Amen. I'm still around, amen. And, you know, I'm going to talk about how that works tonight, amen. Because some people grow weary.
Yeah,
amen. Some people grow weary, but we can't grow weary.
Yeah. Come on now.
That's right.
I've been doing this for 19 years. Pastor Sonny's been doing this for almost 60 years.
Ooh, come on now.
My pastor's been doing it for almost 40 years.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And and you know what? It's kept us healthy.
Yes.
It's kept us healthy spiritually.
Come
amen.
On.
I can't say too much physically. Amen. Because we love tacos. Amen. But not right now. Amen. Because we're fasting. Amen. But, you know, for we've been serving the Lord. Amen. It's kept us healthy spiritually.
Come on.
Amen. And, you know, tonight I'm going to be talking about the topic of unity.
Yes.
Somebody say
yes.
Unity.
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 I'm talking about unity. And I'm going to share with you how it's important that you're united. Amen. That we're united.
Yes.
But listen, I've made it these 19 years serving God because there's been a unity in my life.
That's good. That's true.
There's been a unity in my life. There's been a unity in my mind.
Come on.
My heart,
yes.
And my soul.
Amen.
Amen.
See, people struggle and they can't make it in the things of God because there's no unity in their mind,
yeah.
Their heart, and their soul to serve Christ.
Good.
See, so it's because people backslide. Why? Because see, you know, because see, their heart probably wants to serve God,
amen.
But their mind doesn't.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Their soul doesn't.
My.
See, the soul is the place of feelings.
Yes.
This is why when you get that urge, you get that feeling to party, that's your soul.
Oh my. Wow. Come on.
You see?
Jesus.
But your heart's like, no, man, I want to serve God. I don't want to backslide.
Yeah. It's true.
Huh? But you see, there has to be a unity of mind, heart, and soul.
That's right. That's good, Pastor.
And I'm going to talk about that tonight. Jesus said, a house divided against itself shall not stand.
Amen. Come on now.
And listen, if you're struggling, if you keep on struggling mentally, you know, and in your soul, because you still want to get high, you still want to smoke cigarettes, you still want to, you know, down a shot, you know, you still want to down a Budweiser, a Corona, you know, right? Your soul longs for that beer.
Amen.
See, but your heart doesn't want to backslide. Your heart wants to serve God. But there has to come a place where your heart, mind, and soul come in unity to serve God. And you know what happens? Your body aligns itself.
Amen.
Your body, that's why we're here tonight.
Yes.
That's why I'm here tonight. I don't know about you, but that's why I'm here tonight.
Amen.
Because my mind, body, and soul says, I want to serve God and I want to be in church.
Amen. Yes, amen.
See, but sometimes we can't even get our body to unify.
Come on.
We can't get our body to unify. You see, so it's unity is important. We're going to talk about unity here tonight. Amen. Mark chapter 3, verse 20. Mark chapter 3. Verse 20 through 35. You're there. Give me an amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And as you turn there, I just wanted to throw a quick shout out. Scott Hinkle texts me and he says, if anybody wants to go to his Mardi Gras invasion, it starts March 1st through the 5th. Amen. And so, for those that are interested in going, go to his website, scotthinkle.org, where you can see me, and you can go to the, it's a time of, that week they're going to be hitting the Mardi Gras. And every year he does it, hundreds of Christians go and they preach. There's a lot of sinners out there, amen. And there's a lot of wickedness, and so they go and preach, amen. And we've sent people in the past, amen, and from Dallas, and we sent people there. And so it's a good time of evangelism, amen. But also we have the Panama Crusade, amen. We have the Panama Crusade, amen. Irvin, you still down or what?
I'm down.
All right, amen. Me and Irvin are going to be going, amen. And whoever wants to jump on board can go with us. We're going to go just for like probably a week, amen, a couple days at the end. But if you want to go for the whole thing, go to the website. Go to our website. You can go to our website, bogp.org, and click on the Panama link, and it'll shoot you to the registration booth, and you can register. You can also do that for Veti. You go to our website, bogp.org. You just click on the Veti link, and it'll shoot you to get registered for Veti. I know already some have registered, but we want more students to register. Amen? Yes. Praise the Lord. And then also for the Women's Convention, you can register on our website, or you can register on the international website. Amen? Are you there?
Amen.
Mark chapter 3, verse 20. Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. They were on a forced fast. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Now that's a good way to call him crazy. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons. So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house, somebody say that house, cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end has come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. Truly, I tell you, people can be forgiven all their sins and every slander they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. They are guilty of an eternal sin. Wow. He said this because they were saying he has an impure spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they told him, your mother and brothers are outside looking for you. Verse 33, who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Let's pray. Father, bless the reading of your word. Anoint us to our heart. God, I pray, Lord, for a unity of spirit. I pray, God, that tonight you would unify us. Unify us under the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just be with us, strengthen us, encourage us. And Lord, I pray that you would instruct, rebuke. God, I pray, Lord, that you would let your Holy Spirit do what your Holy Spirit does best. Comfort us, guide us into all truth. We give you the praise and the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. The enemy has always tried to bring division. In many cases, he has. His strategy has always been to divide and to conquer. If you study world history or American history or even church history, you will find great times of division and disunity in every arena of life. In America, we had the Civil War. The world has had two big world wars. We've seen even in the church, the Great Reformation that took place in the early 2nd century took place. Now, and sometimes disunity is not the product of Satan's direct influence, but the product of man's inability to come together and to stay together. Not all the times has it been Satan himself or Satan's influence. There's times and there's times where it's just man's ability. Man is not able to come together, or man is not able to stay together. If we're going to build a church, listen, it's gonna take us coming together and staying together. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now, why doesn't Satan want us united? Three reasons I have here tonight to give you. First off, because he doesn't want us to experience the fullness of Christ through the body. Satan doesn't want us unified because he doesn't want us to experience the fullness of Christ through his body. We all have heard preachings and teachings. You've even read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 how we are a body. The Bible describes the church as a body.
Amen.
And so Satan doesn't want that body to be unified. A body is made up of different parts. The hand, the legs, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the head. Different parts of that body. And Jesus said, Paul taught that the church is like a body. There's many parts to that body. And every part is needed in order for that body to function well. And so the enemy, the devil, he doesn't want us to be united because he knows that if he can keep us divided, then we will never come together as the full body of Christ.
Right.
So therefore, we won't experience the fullness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In order for us to experience the fullness of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then we have to be a united body. We must be a united people. I don't know about you, but I just don't want to experience some of God. I want to experience all of God.
Yeah, that's right.
I am like a Humphrey Bogart when it comes to God. I want to be, I want everything that has to do with God.
Yeah.
See, and if you don't want the same thing, then you might not be really saved. Come on, somebody.
Oh, no.
Because either he's right. Lord of all, or he's not Lord at all.
That's right, Pastor.
You can't halfway be saved.
Right.
Your head just can't be saved, and not your heart and not your soul. Everything has to be saved, my friend. Your hand is not the only thing that's going to make it to heaven. Come on now. Huh? And so we must desire to experience the fullness of Christ. And listen, I want to experience the fullness of the body of Christ, the fullness of the gifts. I don't have all the gifts. There is no one Christian, no one preacher, I don't care how good he preaches, how good he teaches, that person does not have all the gifts.
That's good.
Does it? There's, God doesn't work like that.
Come on.
Huh? Come on now.
Yeah.
Huh? And so, listen, in order for us to experience the fullness of the body of Christ, then we got to understand that's going to come as we come together as the body of Christ.
Amen.
That's going to come as we begin to come together and begin to acknowledge each other's gifts and begin to allow each other to use their gifts to edify the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Secondly, why Satan doesn't want us united is because divided, we are more vulnerable to his attacks. When we are divided, you are more vulnerable to the attack of Satan. Listen, this is the safest place you can be on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Huh? This is the safest. This is probably the safest time. When you come to church on Friday morning, on Friday night, and when you come to church on Sunday morning, you are the safest from not backsliding.
Come on now, amen.
Because you just ain't gonna pop open a cold one in front of pastor.
Right.
Or in front of your neighbor. Come on now. You know, now some churches they do, amen. The pastor has a fifth under the pulpit. He's a sipping saint, amen. You know. But not here. Come on now. Yeah. It's water. Come taste it. It's not vodka. Amen. Yeah. This is anointing oil. Amen. It's not tequila to kill you. Huh? You know, this is the safest place to be because you're not gonna backslide.
Yeah.
Huh? You are safer when you are around the saints.
Right. Hallelujah.
Man. The most dangerous time is when you're by yourself.
Hello.
Come on now.
Yeah.
See that's when you wanna. That's when you wanna dip into some secret sin.
Oh, come on. Speak about it.
When you click on something, that's when you wanna click on something you shouldn't be clicking on.
There it is.
Come on now. When you're by yourself, it is when you're most dangerous. See, that's when you wanna straddle the fence.
Ooh.
And see, the enemy goes after those Christians that are straddling the fence.
Come on now.
Huh? Hey, but when you're in the sheepfolds,
Yeah.
I didn't say sheepfold. Are you 90s or 80s babies? Come on now. Huh? When you are with the sheepfolds, listen. Especially when you're in a sheepfold that is a tight sheepfold.
Yeah, that's right.
We want to be a tight sheepfold. This is why we're family here at Victory Outreach.
Amen.
We're just not a church. We're just not an organization, but we're family.
Yes.
This is why we have fellowships like on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, we're family. This is why we're watching the game tomorrow, the Cowboys together. Why? Because we're family.
Yeah.
Listen, I got family I can go to. I can go to my brother's house. He likes the Cowboys.
Come on.
Huh? Come on now. I can go to a cousin's house or an uncle's house, right? They like the Cowboys. Right?
Yeah.
Huh? But we come here, why? Because we're family.
Yes. Amen.
Huh? And great, man, it's good to have family, you know, but you know, sometimes, you know, family wants to offer you beer.
Come on.
Huh? Sometimes you're around, sometimes you don't want to take your children around that. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? Can we be real?
Yeah.
I got family, but sometimes it's like, man, I don't like taking my kids around my family because beep, 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 beep. Sound like a truck backing up.
Yeah.
Every other word that comes out of their mouth is a cuss word.
Yeah,
come on.
Yeah,
right?
Come on.
Huh? Especially when they get full. Especially when they're tipsy. Right? Come on, we all got that one family member. Huh? And it's cool. I mean, I go around, I'm not gonna drink, but I got my kids. Come on, somebody. Huh? If I know I don't talk like that. I tell them, listen, you know, I don't care what you hear come out of, you know, cousin's mouth.
Come on.
Right?
Come on.
They ain't your daddy. I'm your daddy.
Right.
I don't care what you hear out of your cousin's mouth, your uncle's mouth, your brother. I'm your daddy. I don't talk like that. You don't talk like that.
Amen.
Huh? See? And so, you know, sometimes, you know, we're family here, so we come together. What unites us is that we are family.
Yes, amen. Come on now.
We are the family of God. That's what Jesus said, right?
Yes.
Who is my family?
Come on.
Huh? Who is my family? He says he looked around those that were in his inner circle.
Yeah, that's right.
Those that were sitting around him.
That's right, amen.
Huh? He says, these that are in my inner circle, that is my mother, that is my brother. Those who do the will of God.
Hey.
Is it God's will that we have a potty mouth?
No.
Is it God's will that you live a drunkard life?
No.
Is it God's will that we're a chimney?
No.
Come on now. You know we're not chimneys, amen. Huh? Smokers are chimneys, amen. I'll break it down. That was some of you guessing, a chimney, what does that mean? Okay, those that smoke. Huh? Listen, divided, we are more vulnerable to his attacks.
Right.
Huh? We're more vulnerable to his attacks, but when we're united, Come on. When we're united, when we're together, we're able to hold each other accountable. When we're together, we're able to watch each other. Come on now. You're able to, come on, sisters, you're able to watch each other. Whenever your fellow sister starts to get Google eyes for, come on now, for Freaky Frankie. Come on now, I use myself, even though I'm not like that, just with my wife. It's okay, I'm married, I got one of these. Right? You can hold her accountable, say, hey sister, you get away from that brother. Watch yourself. What is it? Watch yourself or you wreck yourself. Check yourself or you wreck yourself. And I know sometimes they get mad and sometimes, well, you know, you're watching me too close. But listen, you better thank God for that, sister. You better thank God for that brother that is holding you accountable. Why? Because they watch over your soul. Because they love you as a true brother in Christ, as a true sister in Christ should. To say, listen, don't fall for the snares of the enemy. Don't fall for the tactics of the enemy. He comes as an angel of light. I don't care if he's in the mental. I don't care if he's in the church. Doesn't mean, that don't mean diddly squat.
Come on now.
See, the enemy wants to divide us because he knows divided, we're weaker, we're more vulnerable.
Yeah, right. That's good.
Thirdly, the reason why the enemy wants us divided is because united, we are much, much, much stronger. United, we are much, much more stronger for God. Now, here in Mark chapter 3, verse 20 through 35, Jesus gives us some insight on unity and division. I got three things that I want to, three insights that the Lord showed me that Jesus can give us through these scriptures about unity and division. The first thing I see here is that whenever the power of God is moving through a ministry or through an individual's life and using them to do a great work for God, the enemy will try to discredit God's work to bring division.
That's it.
Whenever an individual or a ministry is doing a great work for God, the devil will always come and try to discredit to bring division within that individual's life or within that ministry. That's what we see. That's what we see in these scriptures. This is what begins to happen here in verses 20 through verses 35. The teachers of the law. These teachers of the law, those who were supposed to be credible leaders. The teachers of the law began to cast dirt on Jesus' ministry, saying that he cast out demons because he himself is possessed by a demon. Matter of fact, he's possessed by the prince of demons. This is why the demons listen to him, because he's their king. That's what they said about Jesus. Why? Because God was using Jesus in a powerful way. Because he was doing miracles and casting out demons and healing the sick and healing the lame. And treasures out of darkness were getting saved. Whoa. People like Mary Magdalene, who was slapped around with everybody, had seven devils. People like Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector. He used to be a thief. So many instances that we see that lives being changed by his ministry.
Come on.
You know, that is the purpose of us as a ministry, is to see lives changed.
Amen.
And when I look into this room, I see a lot of lives change.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Has your life been changed? Wave at me.
Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Has your life been changed because of Jesus?
Amen.
Has your life been changed because of this ministry? Wave at me.
Amen.
Huh? Praise God. Huh? We're most good company.
Amen.
Amen. But listen. If we are doing the work of Christ, expect for similar accusations from those who seem or supposed to be credible. Because that's what happened to Jesus. The teachers of the law, everybody looked up to the teachers of the law.
Everybody, they were the teachers of the law. They were the Pharisees. They were the religious people of the day. You figure they would be the ones pushing up Jesus.
Wow. Remember in school, you push up. Yeah. When you did something good. Okay, just maybe in my school. You did some good push up.
I think that was like GED class or something.
You figure they would be the ones pushing up Jesus. They're the ones casting dirt on Jesus.
Wow.
The ones that seem to be credible. Huh? And listen, sometimes that's where the accusations are going to come. It's going to seem like those that it could be religious people. And because why? Because when there's a work of God taking place, listen, you're going to have some haters.
Yeah. No, true.
People are going to get jealous. People will get jealous. Huh? All of a sudden, God is using you. All of a sudden, God is using you to minister to your friends, to your loved ones. Come on now.
Amen.
Huh? And all of a sudden, other people that begin to see the work of God in and through your life, instead of encouraging you on and pushing you up, sometimes they can throw dirt.
Yeah, that's true.
Huh? They could throw dirt. And here, this is what I'm... Why? Because the enemy wanted to divide and conquer. He didn't want people to follow Jesus to salvation. He didn't want people to follow Jesus. He didn't want people to follow the Lord to heaven. And so what he tries to do is he tries to throw accusations to divide.
Wow. Come on.
Huh?
It's good, Pastor.
The enemy's tactics is to divide and to conquer. Now, get this. Accusations won't come from just known enemies or known haters, but accusations will also come from family or close people like friends. But the accusations that come from them may not be as bad as your known enemies or haters. Look at verse 21. You want me to prove it? Because you're looking at me crazy. Let me prove it. Look at verse 21. It says, when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him. In other words, they want to take control of him. For they said, he is out of his mind. ¿Está loco? Now, that's a nice way to say he was crazy. They didn't accuse him like the Pharisees, like the teachers of the law. Just flat out call him a demon. They said, nah, he's just a little crazy. He's just a little crazy. See, when you're doing the right work of God, you can expect to be called a little crazy and maybe even demonized. Maybe even demonized. If they did it to Jesus, what makes you think, my friend, they won't do it to us? Victory Outreach has been doing the work of God for over 50 years. Amen. Strong. Amen. Come on, give God some praise.
Amen.
We have been labeled an occult.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
False prophets.
Come on.
Money hungry.
Come on.
Thieves.
Come on.
And so much more.
That's right.
People talked about me on Facebook, Twitter, MySpace. But nevertheless, we keep doing what God has called us to do, and we keep seeing miracles take place all over the world. Jesus didn't let accusations stop him, and we shouldn't either. I like that song the Men's Home used to sing. How's it go, Pastor Josh? Talk about me all that you want, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember the song. You were supposed to finish it, bro. I'll talk about you down on my knees or something like that. Listen, the enemy will always try to throw dirt on your name. But don't let that derail you. Don't let that defocus you. You'll hear people talk about Victory Outreach. You'll hear people talk about your pastor. They'll talk about Sister Sylvia. They'll talk about the leaders. They'll talk about people in the church. But just know, listen. It's probably because we're doing
That's partly because we're doing something right.
Yeah.
That's partly because we're doing something right. Huh? And I look around and I see the many treasures out of darkness. Right. I look around and I see your changed lives.
Yeah.
I say, my God, I said, it was worth it all, and it's worth it all, and it's worth it continuing to reach the treasures out of darkness. And so therefore, we can't pay attention to the naysayers. Come on, somebody. We must listen to God and do what God has called us to do, to reach the treasures out of darkness, to continue with this vision and this mission that he's given us.
Yes.
And we got to be thrucha to that.
Ooh,
in other words, we got to be hip to it.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, the enemy wants to come in and divide and conquer.
Amen.
But God has given us pastors and evangelists and teachers and prophets and apostles to equip the saints for the work of ministry so that nothing can get in the way of the work of ministry. So whenever the enemy does try to come in, we can stand united. We can stand strong together and say, venga lo que se venga. Come what may come. We're going to stand united against the forces of darkness. We're going to stand united against the devil and his schemes, and we will reach our city, and we will reach the treasures out of darkness, and we will raise up pastors and evangelists, and we will raise up missionaries, and we will launch them out to the four corners of the world. We will do the will of God. We will do it together. United we can. United we can, and united we stand. We will launch our churches. We will take the world for God's honor and God's glory. We will build a ministry. We will build a church. We will raise up leaders. We will see your children get saved. We will see your neighbors get saved. We will see your cousin get saved. We will see your wife and your husband get saved together as we lock arms in prayer and fasting and believing in God for one another. Secondly, what we learn is Jesus said, a divided house cannot stand. A divided house cannot stand. In verse 25. So we must strive. So we must strive to have a united house. A united house. Listen, the enemy will try to divide your house.
Come on.
He'll try to divide your marriage.
Come on.
You know what's kept me, what my house united is is God, of course.
Amen.
Huh? But it's been our marriage.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because we pray together.
Amen.
We pray together. Me and my wife pray together.
Yes.
We pray together a lot. Sometimes we don't pray together. Huh? Because I like to sleep in sometimes. She likes to sleep in sometimes. But there's a lot of times we wake up at the same time.
Hallelujah.
Huh? We meet each other at the altar. Not this altar. Because we got an altar at home. I got many altars at home. I got an altar in my living room. I got an altar in my room. I got an altar in my backyard.
Amen.
Huh? I even got an altar in my restroom.
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean, you know, I have, you know, the Virgin Mary right there and candles and, you know, you guys are. No, my altar is a spiritual altar.
Right.
Where I meet God.
Yes.
No, I don't mean God in the restroom. Amen. Right. Take that back. But sometimes I sing to the Lord in the shower.
Yeah.
Amen. And what's kept us, what keep our house is united, because me and my wife, we stay united.
Yes, amen.
We stay united.
Amen.
How do we stay united? I'm going to talk about how we stay united. But we, first of all, we stay united in prayer.
Amen.
We stay united in prayer. Huh? And we stay united under this one principle. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
And anybody that is under this roof will serve the Lord.
Amen.
You're under this roof, guarantee you're going to church.
Yeah.
Huh? Come on, somebody. Yeah. The only ones that don't go to church are the dogs. And they need to go to church. Believe me, they'd be here. You bring them. They'd be barking at all you. Amen. Huh? But even they know what's up. Huh? My dog, he can sniff out sin. Now, none of you are going to come to my house. I'm just kidding. Sometimes I really do believe he does, though, man. Huh? But we have that con. We pray and say, we say our mentality. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Right, amen.
Because Jesus said, "A divided house cannot stand."
Right.
What is it that unites us? What is it that unites us? The blood of Jesus unites us.
Amen. Thank you,
Jesus. The blood of Christ, His blood makes us family. Somebody said blood is thicker than water, right?
Yeah.
It is. But not our family DNA blood.
Come on.
The blood of Christ.
That's good.
The blood of Christ. His blood has united us all. We are united under the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what unites us. What unites us is the blood of Christ. And everybody else that is a sincere believer and part of the universal body of Christ.
Yes.
The universal body of Christ is the church that is unseen.
Right.
This right here is the local body of Christ. This is the church that is seen.
Yeah.
But then there is a church that is unseen. When you go to Walmart and you're walking in Walmart and you're passing by people and you're not knowing that they're saved because we're so unsociable today that we don't even bother to say hi to people or smile at people. We don't know if that person that just passed us is saved or going to hell.
Wow. Come on, Pastor.
But the universal body of Christ are all those that we pass by and that we don't know they're saved, but God from heaven looks down and he sees they're saved, they're saved, they're saved.
That's right.
It's the universal body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And we're united to them through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Huh? Amen. Through the blood of Christ. I know, listen, but you're just not the only one saved. Come on now. There's many of us. But not everybody that comes to church is saved.
That's right.
In Victory Outreach and in other churches.
Right.
From the pulpit to the pews.
Yeah.
Huh? The blood of Jesus unites us. What else unites us? Our values unite us.
Amen.
What unites us is our values. And what has kept me and my wife united is that we have the same values. Why do we have the same values? Because we've sat under the same teachings, the same preachings, the same discipleships, the same conventions, the same conferences. We have sat under the same Bible. We read the same Bible, my friend. Listen, what do you mean my Christianity is different than yours? It shouldn't be, because we read the same Bible. It's the same Bible. Not unless you're reading the Mormon Bible or the Jehovah's Witness Bible. We're reading the same scriptures.
Right.
Our values unite us.
Amen.
Values are a strong thing. There are strong things. Values are important for many reasons. In particular, right now in today's day and age, with the rate of change and unpredictability of change, the only thing that can really keep people galvanized around the journey they're on is having a clear and sharp shared vision that is motivated by our values. Listen, we have a shared vision. We have a vision here in Victory Outreach, and our vision comes because of our values.
All right. Amen.
We value souls.
Yes, amen.
We value God.
Amen.
We value each other.
Yes.
And this is why we're on the same, we're going towards the same vision, because we value God. We value the presence of God. We value exalting God. We value praising God. We value praying to God. We value being in His presence. That's why we're here tonight. Because it is about, we value God.
Yes.
Does anybody value God here tonight?
Yes.
We value the Lord. that unites us on a Friday night.
Right. Good.
That unites us on Sunday morning, the Lord's day.
Yes.
Because we value the Lord.
Yes.
And it unites us. We value. And that keeps us together.
Right.
We value souls. Because we get our value from the Word of God.
Yes.
If you don't love to win souls, what's wrong with you?
Come on now.
What, you're not reading your Bible?
Come on.
Because the scripture clearly tells us Jesus wept over the lost and the hurting. Amen. Listen, when you love somebody, you begin to value what that person loves. When you love somebody, you begin to love what that person loves. This is why we love to win souls. Because it's our values. See, values are often referred to as signposts. To mark your way back to why we do what we do. That's what values do. Values are like signposts. Because sometimes you could be doing stuff and you forget why are we at this rally? Why are we out here praying for people in the cold rain? Because of souls. Because of go ye. Because Jesus said, go ye into all the world and make disciples of all nations. See, values. It strengthens us as a ministry. It keeps us together. Keeps us together. What are some of our values in Victory Outreach? Listen, as a ministry, we are a value-driven ministry. We have a common vision that has kept us together. We value family. We are a family-oriented ministry. We are connected as family. Just having the name and the t-shirt is not enough.
Right. Come on now.
We need each other.
Yes.
We need each other. Tell your neighbor, I need you.
I need you.
Tell your neighbor, you need me.
You need me.
We need each other. Just having the name, just having the logo on the pulpit, just having the t-shirt is not enough, my friends. Huh? We need each other. This is why we have life groups and ministries where you can get involved. Listen, because why? You need your brother to pray for you. You need your brother to counsel you. You need your brother to encourage you. You need your brother to watch out for you. You need your brother to correct you when you're about to go in the wrong. We need each other. Because we're family.
Hallelujah.
Somos familia.
Right.
Amen.
Not only do we value family, but we value discipleship.
Amen.
We are a discipleship ministry. We value discipleship. What is discipleship? It's reproducing ourselves. That's discipleship. Reproducing ourselves. And we value that. Why? Because Jesus said, go and make disciples. He didn't say, go and make converts. He said, go and make disciples. That means, listen, that every person that we pray for and lead to Christ, it is our duty and it is our responsibility to see them grow in the things of God. It is our duty and our responsibility to teach them everything that Christ has taught us. It's just not about making a convert. It's about teaching them the ways of Christ.
Right.
And as a ministry, that is a value. We don't want to commit just a bunch of spiritual abortions all over the place.
Yeah.
We want to see people be birthed into the things of God and then grow in the things of God.
Right, man.
Because we are a discipleship ministry, reproducing ourselves. We are committed to multiplication and reproducing ourselves into men and into women. Not only do we value family and discipleship in this vision, but we are also a ministry. We value being a people of dignity. People of dignity. We have a sense of dignity in our ministry. A sense of dignity. Because listen, before we didn't have no dignity. Some of us didn't have no dignity. Many of us didn't have no dignity. Huh? The enemy took our dignity from us.
That's true.
Huh? This is why, you know, girls will go to the clubs barely dressed. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on now.
Wow.
Huh? Right? Barely dressed. Hardly none, you know. Huh? Hardly nothing on. Because we have no dignity. This is why men and drug addicts that came in, we would be on the streets for weeks not taking a shower.
Wow. Come on.
Because we had no dignity.
Right.
This is why we get so drunk and not know how we acted and act a foolio in front of family, in front of people, in front of the police. Why? Because we didn't have no dignity.
Come on.
And so we come in and it's like, you know, we got to learn how to brush our teeth. We got to learn how to put some clothes on. We got to learn how to not show everything our mama gave us. Huh? We had no dignity. Huh? But now we have dignity.
Right.
Yeah.
Now we have dignity. And all of a sudden we said, we got to carry ourselves. I'm a woman of God.
Come on out.
I'm a woman of God. I'm not your eye candy. No, it's okay. I'm not your eye candy. I'm not for you. I'm not here for your amusement.
Amen.
Huh? All of a sudden now we come and we take a shower. Come on now.
Come on.
I'm telling you, men come. I've come into the home, I've smelled a lot of men come into the home. All of a sudden, they start taking showers and brushing their teeth and comb. Yes. And I know you think it's funny, but it's true.
Yes.
Huh? It's true. And all of a sudden, and then we say, "Here, put on this, a suit."
Hello.
Huh? They never wore a suit in their life. But they come in not taking a shower for weeks, but then all of a sudden Sunday morning they're suited and booted, looking like a preacher, looking like they're going to deliver the message, looking like a mobster. Come on now. All of a sudden they're walking around with their chest popped out in the church. Short time, but chest popped out in the church. They all bad. Come on now. I said, well, I'll shut you back in. Look at you. I ain't mad at you, brother. Huh? What? Girls, too, you never put on a dress. Huh? Never put on a dress. Never put on high heels. You know? All of a sudden, you come to church in a dress. All of a sudden, you start walking different. All of a sudden, you walk with your head high. With dignity.
Amen.
We're a ministry of dignity. This is why we don't come to church with our flip-flop song. Come on now. We don't come to church. Come on, Sunday morning. I know Friday nights come as you are. But on Sunday mornings, come on, we come dressed nice in our Sunday best. Yeah. You know, some of the rich churches, you know, white-collar, blue-collar churches, you know, they let their people come to church in shorts to church on Sunday morning. You know, they're beach shorts. They look like they're going to the beach in chanclas. Huh? And maybe that's all right for them. But that's not all right for us.
Come on now.
Huh? That's not all right for us, church. Come on now.
Amen.
Huh? Because we're a ministry of dignity.
Yeah.
Huh? We're a ministry of dignity. We're a ministry of dignity.
Yes, amen.
How do we expect people to change? How do we expect people to change if they still feel the same way?
Come on now. That's right.
How are you going to change sagging your pants all the time?
Oh my. Oh, tell the truth.
You got to like walk like this to hold your pants up. I mean, I like to sag sometimes, you know. My wife don't like it. Because some of my clothes don't fit. It's a good sign. I gain weight, lose weight. Just throw those pants away, they don't fit you no more. No, but they'll fit in a couple months. But listen, I still wear a belt.
Amen.
Huh? I still wear a belt. Huh? We're a ministry of dignity. Listen, you feel how you dress.
All right.
Huh? You feel your dress. I'm not saying you'll come next week and on a Friday night in a suit. Come on now. It's all right. Amen. Friday night, we'll relax. Midweek service. Amen. You know. I'm not saying you got to dress in a suit. No, but come, you know, come in your best.
Yes.
Because we're ministry of dignity. And I understand you come straight from work. I commend you if you come straight from work. Come dirty. Come with oil. Come dirt. Come as you are, my friend. Just make it to the house of God.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm cool with that. Come as you are. That's what we used to call our services way back in the gap. Come as you are Friday.
Yeah.
Because we understood people got off of work and they needed to come straight to church, and we would all come just as we were.
Yeah.
Some people get a chance, you're blessed, you get out there early, you can take a shower, and if you can't take a shower, please take a shower. You've been, you know, we don't want to smell the oil on you. The grass, you've been cutting grass all day, come on somebody. We're a ministry of dignity. We value being a ministry of dignity. Huh? This is why. Listen, we don't have our homes out there in the corner selling candy.
All right, now.
That's right.
Some churches have their homes hustling out there in the streets, and they're selling candy and banana bread.
Uh-oh.
And some people come. Oh, I thought that was you. No, that's not us. Because they have like a similar name than us, but that's not us. We don't sell banana bread.
Yeah. Right. True.
When have you seen a banana bread wrapper around here? Because we don't believe in teaching our men and women to be hustlers.
Come on.
That's good.
No, we teach our men and women, hey, work for your keep.
Right.
A man don't work, a man don't eat, the Bible says.
Right.
The way we provide for our homes is we send our men to work, our women to work.
Right.
Go work, go break leaves, do something. I don't know how to swing a hammer. I don't either. Just try. By the end of the year, you'll know how to swing a hammer. You'll leave here with Jesus and a trade swinging a hammer. They leave this place and they say they leave the home with a sense of dignity.
Right.
Listen, you know, we all hustled in the world. We knew how to do that. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? But we're a ministry of dignity. We also, we value quality of ministry. We value having a quality of ministry. We value quality in our ministry.
Amen.
Yes.
This is why we do our best to, you know, to take care of the house of God. And this is why we give our finances to the Lord. And why? Because we don't just want to have a ragtag building or you walk in here on Friday nights or Sunday morning and the carpet hasn't been vacuumed and the restrooms haven't been cleaned and the instruments haven't been shined. And no, my friend, we value having quality. We may not have much, but listen, we want to be good stewards of what God has given us, and so we take care of what God has given us, and we value quality, my friends. We didn't start like this. We started from the ground. You should have seen the Park Row days. Some of you did. We've come a long way. God has raised us up. He's given us a better quality because we value that. Not only we value that, but we are a self-sustaining ministry. We believe it's all in the house through tithes and offerings, and united we can. We value giving to the Lord.
Amen.
It is a value. See, this is what unites us. We value. Listen, we don't believe that we got to be begging the government for money.
Right.
We don't beg. The government's not our provider, so let the government shut down all they want.
Come on now.
I ain't tripping. Now, I know if you're a federal worker, you probably are. Huh? But listen, even if you're a federal worker, the government is not your provider. God is your provider. God is your provider. Listen, even if you got a job, that job is not your provider. God is your provider. And if that job stops cutting checks, it's all right if you're a tither and you're a giver. God will send the ravens to send you some meat. God, come on, somebody. God will provide one way or another. Why? Because it's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. It's not the government, my provider. It's not the job, my provider. God is my provider. And whenever one door closes, guarantee you there's another one opening.
Yes.
And so and we value giving to the Lord. We value being a self-sustaining ministry.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's why I love our church. I love our church. You know, when we got launched out, they gave us one offering. And that's all we needed. Never once have I had to call Pastor Jesse, I'm short on the renta. Can you help?
Come on.
We're short on this. We're short on that. No, my friend. We value being a soul. We, me and my wife, we prayed, we fasted, we sowed seeds. Come on, somebody. We sowed till today. We've been sowing seeds. We're able to give our first fruits today.
Yeah, yes.
Huh? And it wasn't a little amount. It was a big amount.
Come on now.
Huh? Uncle Sam came early for us this year.
Hello.
Gave our first fruit.
Come on now. Amen.
Because, you know, we've learned.
Yes.
We've learned the principle of sowing and reaping.
Yes, amen.
We've learned the principle, and God has provided us, He's provided with us every step of the way.
That's right, amen.
Every step of the way. Yes, and that's why I can preach about giving to the Lord all day long, because listen, I believe in it. It's a conviction of mine. Yeah. And I know that, listen, God works when we faithfully tithe. You can out-give God. Listen, put Him to the test, my friend. You can out-give God, my friend. God is always going to multiply it on top. God is always going to pour out into your bosom a good measure shaken together and running over. Put God to the test, my friend, and see that God is faithful. And as you give, as a ministry, we're able to be a self-sustaining ministry. That we don't rely on the government, my friend. We don't rely on him. We rely on the provision of God Almighty. And then our value is that also is that we're an inner city ministry. We're focused in the inner city. Right. We value the inner city. We value the treasures out of darkness. I don't know if other ministries value them, but we value them.
That's right.
But listen, we value the drug addict and the gang member.
Come on.
We value the prostitutes.
Come on.
Listen, when other ministries look at them and they say, man, they got a far way to go. We look at them and we see our next usher. Yes. We see our next home director. Yes. We see our next women's home director. Yes. We see our next gang leader. Yes. We see our next missionary. Yes. We see the next pastor that's going to be launched out. Listen, I look at people. Sometimes they come in high. They're high as a kite, my God. And they come, Pastor, can you counsel me? Pat, yeah, I sit down and I counsel them. And I'm looking at them. And I'm going to put this guy in the home. I'm going to put this girl in the home. I'm going to put this person in my life group. I'm going to put this person in the gang. That's it, because they're my next gang leader. They're my next home director. They're my next head staff. Come on, they're my next overseer. They're the next graduates. I look at them like that. Other ministries look at them like, ay, ay, ay. Where's Victory Outreach? Honey, give me the name, the number of Victory Outreach. Remember that guy? What's that guy? Pastor Francis? What's that guy? Pastor John? You got their phone number? I've had pastors come and bring me guys in my office.
Right.
Pastors, bigger churches than mine. And bring the guy, and I said, well, ain't you from that big church down the street? Yeah, but we can't help them. You can. I said, well, why can't you help them? I started rebuking the pastor. My pastor used to say, I believe every church should have a men's and a women's home.
Yes. Right.
Not just Victory Outreach.
Right. Huh?
But praise God, we know that's what God called us to. Huh? I believe every Victory Outreach church. There's some Victory Outreach churches that don't have homes.
My.
Huh? For we know that every church, every Victory Outreach church should have a men's home and a women's home.
Yeah.
Some Victory Outreach churches, they don't have women's homes because women don't bring in money.
Oh.
Huh? It don't matter. What matters is the soul.
Yeah. Right.
This is why, listen, there always has to be home directors.
Come on,
man.
And who? You know, Pastor Josh and Sister Asaneka, we're going to have to boot them out one day.
Come on now, amen.
We're going to have to go take a city one day.
Right.
Amen. Come on.
Huh? Who's going to grab that mantle?
Yeah.
Come on.
Huh? We got Jose and the bullpen to run the men's home, but who's going to run the women's home?
Come on now.
Huh? Hope one of these graduates graduates. Hello, somebody. No, don't roll your eyes now. But listen, God, we value the inner cities. We value the inner city people. Yes, listen, people are running away from the inner city. You know why? Because they want to go start their church in the suburb because it's cheaper in the suburb. Land is cheaper in the suburb. So a lot of ministries and a lot of pastors, they go to the suburbs to buy land and build their big buildings because it's more expensive in the inner city and it's crazier in the inner city and it's the concrete jungles of America. But listen, Victory Outreach, we run to the inner city. We run to the inner city. We run to the body ghetto. We run to the ghetto. We run to the ghetto. People ask me, where do you live? I live in the ghetto, man. I live in Tower. I live right there where the need is at. I may not always live there, but I live there right now. But we'll always be in the inner cities. We'll always be in the inner cities. Where are we at on Main Street? Huh? There's a lot of drugs around here. You see them walking up and down the streets. But this is where God has called us, because we value the inner city. Not only that, we're an international ministry. We value reaching the world for Jesus. And we value church planting. We are committed to planting churches all over the world. See, our values unite us. They unite us. This is what unites us. This is what unites us. And maybe this is a lot for you to take in, but listen, I hope that it's hitting your heart. And I hope that, listen, that the Holy Spirit will bring everything to remembrance to you, that you would understand what brings us together. What brings us together is the blood of Christ, and that we have the same convictions. We have the same values, my friend. And when we have the same convictions and the same values, we will stay together. That's another thing that brings us together is our convictions. We value holy. We value purity. We value living right for God, my friend. We value that. We value staying right with God. We value our salvation. We don't want to be one foot in the world and one foot in church, my friend. We value being saved. We value living right. We are a ministry of conviction. We have conviction. That's what's kept me and my wife together, is our conviction. To live for God. Huh? Our conviction. We have a conviction in our soul. To live right. To live right. And to honor God. Lastly, Jesus defined family. He defined family. In verses 33 through 35, he defined family. Who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. The piano player can come up. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus defined family. He defined family by whoever does God's will. Listen, can I be honest with you? If you're a Christian, if you're really saved, I'm probably more family to you in God's eyes than some of your closest family members. According to Christ, whoever does God's will is my mother, is my brother, is my sister. I mean, this story is so profound. His family is outside looking for him, trying to take charge of him. In other words, trying to control him because they think that he's out of his mind. They think that they said, man, he's gone a little crazy. Jesus inside doing ministry and he's pouring himself out. And they come to him and they say, hey, your family's outside. They're looking for you. He looks at them and kind of says, kind of sharply, kind of like that guy that came up to him. I would hate to be that guy. You know, right, that guy. Who is my family? Whoa, I'm just saying that. I'm just, no, don't shoot me. I'm just the messenger. I've done that a lot to disciples. They get caught like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And Jesus just hit you and said, who is my family? Those who do the will of God. He defined family. Those in his inner circle that were close to him, that grabbed his heart, his values, and vision would be the ones to do his will and keep the family united. Keep the family united. in the book of Acts, after Jesus ascended into heaven, after he resurrected and showed himself to over 500 disciples, it says that he was taken in the mount. He was taken up into the sky and was seated at the right hand side of the Father. And then in the book of Acts, the apostles begin their ministry. And as they begin their ministry and they continue to preach Jesus, the teachers of the law that thought they got rid of Jesus all of a sudden say, "Oh my God, we thought we killed this dude." But all of a sudden the disciples preached in Jesus' name and they start preaching, "You murdered him, but that's all right because he came back to life and he is alive seated at the right hand side of the Father, and it's in through his name that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, and if it confesses and if it bow, then they shall be saved." And people, and the free teachers of the law were getting mad, and they would arrest them and beat them and throw them into prison and command them, "You are not to preach in that name any longer." And they would say, "Listen, we rather obey God than man." And they didn't know how to handle the situation, because all the people, the same way they loved Jesus, they were loving the disciples and they were loving the apostles for preaching about Jesus and doing miracles. And the teachers of the law that were accusing Jesus of being demon possessed and all that, and they were hating on Jesus, they were like dumbfounded, like, "I can't believe that we killed this dude on the cross, and now his name is still being preached. Wow. His ministry is still growing." And they were like, "We gotta kill these guys. We gotta put them to death. We gotta kill all of them because they're gonna continue to preach in this name." And then one teacher of the law that had wisdom stood up and said, Listen, hold up. Think about what you're gonna do, guys. Because if you do kill all these guys, you can find yourself coming against God Himself. Think about what you're gonna do. Listen, he said, He said, remember this story, and it was a true story about a guy that was raised up and started a revolt. And it says that they put him to death and his revolt came to nothing. He says, "Listen, just leave these guys alone. We don't put Jesus to death. If this ministry of him fizzles out because we already put him to death, then cool, let it be. But if this ministry keeps on going, then that's a sure sign that this is of God. That this is of God. It's been over 2,000 years plus. And the ministry of Jesus Christ is still going stronger than ever before. Why? Because of disciples that remained united. Under the bloodstained banner of Christ, under the same values of preaching the word. The gospel didn't get us all the way to America by people not preaching, by people not evangelizing and discipling. The gospel has gone all over the world because of these values, these same values that we hold today of evangelism and discipleship and sacrificially giving to the Lord. Jesus said, He said, even Satan knows better than to bring division in his own camp. He wouldn't do it because that would mean the end of him. As a church, we must strive to keep the unity through the bond of peace. How? By living in love. Listen, church, we gotta love one another.
Come on.
You gotta love one another. You gotta love that. Think about that person in the church that I know you can't stand. I know you can't stand that person. Because, you know, because when they were serving comida, you know, they only gave you a little bit of salsa. See, she don't like me, Pastor. That guy in the home. Yeah, that guy in the home. Huh? Come on now. You know, whatever the issue is. I don't know what the issue is. Sometimes that happens, but listen. We gotta strive to keep the unity through the bond of peace by living in love. You don't have to like them, but you gotta love them.
Right.
Well, Pastor, I don't like you. You ain't gotta like me, bro. But you gotta love me. And I gotta love you. We gotta love you. other. Not to listen, not to, you know. You know, sometimes we don't like people, you know why? Because they're like us. Because they're like us. So sometimes that person you don't like is just you looking at yourself in the mirror. You know, if I was you, I would study that person a little bit more. Hey, that's me. Let me correct me. Let me see what you just, I don't do that. Come on now. We gotta love each other. And all the and you know what? Whenever you see something you don't like in them, just go hug them. And why are you hugging me? The grace of God, man. The grace of God loves us both. We gotta love one another. We gotta shake everybody's hand. That's how you know you don't like somebody. You don't want to shake their hand. During greeting time, you stay away. Even in here, we gotta be careful because we have different sections, you know. And it's like everybody in this section stays over here, and everybody over here stays over here. Well, you gotta intermingle, man. Get out of your way. Come on now. Give somebody a hug. Guys, come on now. If it's a girl, give her a side hug. That's another preaching. Gotta love one another. That's how we keep the bond of peace. Not only that, but by forgiving each other.
That's right.
You gotta forgive. See, many times we don't forgive, we run. We run. Because we don't want to forgive. You gotta forgive. You gotta forgive that leader, forgive that brother, forgive that sister, forgive your pastor. I know I make some of you mad sometimes in my preachings. I know it, man. God, some preachings get me mad. I be going to these Dallas and discipleship, my pastor be talking, I'll be like, he's talking about me. He's talking about my church. I said, amen. I see everybody staring at me. But after service, I go up to him real fast and hug him. That's me on Sunday morning. Open rebuke is better than hidden love.
Right.
Open rebuke is better than hidden love. And as a pastor, I love you, man. God loves you. God loves you so. He loves you too much to keep you the same.
Right, come on.
We get mad because we don't like, well, I don't like what the preacher said, and you know, listen, man, God loves you, man. He's challenging you to grow, to break out of that.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
And then you know what? Just forgive. Forgive who offended you. Forgive if they forgot to pick you up. Forgive if they didn't text you back. Forgive if they threw you under the bus with pastor and your leaders. Forgive if they talk to you all crazy and stack up the chairs now. Bro, I'm not in the home. Hey, you all heard, you know, just talk to me like I'm in the home.
Come on.
We get mad.
I'm leaving, I ain't gonna help. I ain't gonna come next week either. Just let it stack up your own chairs.
God, forgive. Just forgive. Forgive, forgive. Forgive, because guess what? You're gonna need to be forgiven. You're gonna need to be forgiven. Huh? Jesus said it. If you can't forgive men their trespasses, God won't forgive you yours. We got to keep the bond of peace by being merciful, by being merciful towards one another. Mercy. I desire mercy better than sacrifice. I desire mercy better than sacrifice. Sometimes we want to sacrifice and there's no mercy. We're a ministry of mercy. I don't know how many times some, I don't know, there's been to come into my home, into the men's home. There's like the 20th time they've been in the home. Not now, thank God. But and they call me, Pastor, can I come back into the home? I don't know, call Pastor Josh. I'm gonna call you first. Because Pastor Josh said, nah, bro, man. Go to Fort Worth. not no more. And they call me, Mercy comes calling. Be merciful toward one another. When you see the backslider come back, be merciful. Be merciful. Don't start throwing stones. Oh, I told you you'd come back. I told you'd be back. I told you. To the left in the first place. No, be merciful.
Yes.
Be like the father. Remember the father of the prodigal son. Get the best role. Get your wine brought open. Welcome. My son once was lost, but now is found. And be merciful. And also listen. Keep the bond of peace by being humble toward one another. By being humble toward one another and not considering ourselves better than. We keep the bond of peace by being humble towards one another. And not thinking that we're better than. We're better than nobody. I'm not better than nobody. We're not better than nobody. Even as a ministry of Victory, we're not better than nobody. Stay humble. Stay humble towards each other. Affiliate with the guys in the home. Affiliate with the girls in the home. Let them feel the love of Christ through the church. And people come in. Listen. I love it when people come in our church. And I love it when they haven't taken a shower in 2 months. I can smell it in the air. I said, ooh, hallelujah. Sunday morning too. Praise God. Amen. I wonder what section he's sitting in or she's sitting in. Let's not be the church that all of a sudden we grab our purse and move chairs.
That's right.
We grab our family. Well, let's go on the other side, honey. Come on. Oh, my friend. We're not better than. Maybe we didn't come in like that to man, but to God. Our stuff stinked. Our sin stunk. Our pride stunk. Our ego stunk. Keep the bond of peace. Lastly, by staying connected. Staying connected no matter what. No matter what. This means accountability. This means good church attendance. It's like, you know, we would really have a church of over 100 people if everybody came to church. If everybody came to church, man, we would, man, break the 100 barrier. I'm not saying, you know, if you're sick, you know, come to church. No, you know, stay back. We don't want you to get everybody sick. Amen. You understand? Amen. Go to take your vacation. But if you ain't got no good excuse, be in church. If you ain't sick or you ain't on vacation, be in church. We're all tired, man. We're all tired. Huh? We live tired. Huh? The Bible, that's not the Bible, but somebody once said this, the world is ran by tired men. Be in church. Stay plugged in. Get plugged into a ministry. Get plugged into a life group. This keeps us united. A house divided cannot stand.
It's true.
In 2019, let's stay united. We've been united for all these years. Or we're going to stay united. Leaders, unite.
Amen.
Leaders, don't be locking horns. Life group leaders, don't be locking horns. Don't be fighting over people. Well, she's in my life group, and he's in my life group, and you're sheep stealing, and nobody's stealing. No sheep. We're under the same church, under the same blood. Be united. Let's unite. Whenever somebody's doing, let's get behind them. Whenever the church is doing something, get behind them. Whenever your leader's doing something, get behind them. Whenever your pastor's doing something, get behind them.
Amen.
Let's stay united. But most of all, church, unite yourself. unite your mind, your heart, and your soul to do the will of God. Because if you can unite that, nothing else is going to work. You got to come to a place where you say, you know what? This body's going to serve God. This person's going to serve. And before I can say, as for me and my house, I got to say, as for me and this body, we're going to serve the Lord. Sometimes you got to say that, man. As for me and this, but we're going to serve the Lord. That's what I said. Before God brought me my wife, God had to unite my mind, my heart, and my soul. My mind had to say, I want to serve the Lord. My heart wants to serve the Lord. And my soul wants to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Unite yourself to say, man, I'm going to serve God no matter what.
Right.
No matter what. That's what Job said. Take all my family, take everything away. I'm still going to serve God. Stand to your feet. Lift your hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes. Lift your hands. Worship the King. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe tonight you've been divided. You've been divided. In yourself, you've been divided. Like part of you like wants to serve God, a part of you like doesn't want to serve God no more. Part of you wants to like continue to serve in the ministry. Part of you wants to like go somewhere else. You've been divided. Maybe in your marriage, in your family, you've been divided. You've been locking horns, fighting. You can't come in agreement. In your values, in your principles. Tonight, God has spoken to your heart. God has spoken to your life. This message was for you. You say, man, we gotta be united. We gotta stick together under Christ, under the Word of God. Our common ground is the Word of God. We can disagree on many other things, but when it comes down to God's Word, it's yes and amen. God has a final say so. Tonight, if God spoke to you, the altars are open. I want you to come. Maybe there's been division in your house. Come pray. Come pray. Bring your wife. Bring your children. Bring your family. In your ministry, maybe you, in your ministry, you've been kind of locking horns with each other and Maybe you got to examine yourself. Maybe you got to examine yourself. Say, is it me? Do I need to humble myself? Do I need to humble myself? Do I need to apologize? Do I need to ask for forgiveness? Don't let the enemy put a wedge between you and God. Don't let the enemy put a wedge between you and the church, you and your leaders, you and your brothers and sisters in Christ, you and your marriage, you and your children. Come put it in God's hands. Unite yourself first under the bloodstained banner of Christ. Keep the bond of peace. Oh, hallelujah.